A reading from Luke's Gospel. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, 'What was going on?' The servant replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then the older brother, he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" God's word is life.
It's true, I've been away for 3 months having the time of my life. Living pretty free and easy, responsibilities left behind, indulging in staggering beauty and rich foods and memorable encounters with people and other creatures. And it's time I returned. So in case you're thinking, what a coincidence that of all the stories from Scripture we could be attending to today, well, it's not a coincidence. And not because what happened in Ireland stays in Ireland, for there is so much I want to share with you. I've deliberately chosen this passage, it having been suggested by a chapter of one of the few books that I brought with me, a chapter entitled "The Practice of Beginning Again," which I read just a few weeks ago. It came along just at the right time, when I was thinking about what it means to return to my life in Victoria, to my life with this congregation and in this neighborhood. Beginning again, I wrote in my journal, why does that theme so connect? What does it stir? What is it saying to me? And I found myself responding further in my journal. It is the moment I'm in, returning after being away 3 months. It is the opportunity of this time to return and move forward rather than returning to former habits that haven't served me or anyone else well. It's an opportunity for freshness. It's an opportunity to remember we dwell in possibility. It's an opportunity to re-enter with intention, awake, with deliberateness. It's an opportunity for some newness in what I do, how I am, what I see, who I meet. It's an opportunity to be curious. It's an opportunity to experience and to cultivate some shifts, which I go on to name for myself out of the experience of this sabbatical leave. Beginning again. I've come to appreciate that these are powerful words. And not just for me in this place where I find myself. Always there is the invitation to begin again. From wherever we are, whatever our circumstance, whether that's a crisis of one kind or another, or having come into a new place or a new phase in our life, or even from that well-worn path from which you never imagined there could or would be any variation. Always there is the invitation to begin again. That's what begins to come to light through lingering with each of those figures in Jesus' story, the younger son, the father, the older son. As different as their circumstances are from each other, there comes to each of them the invitation to begin again. And so my thought is that this weekend, over the next 2 weeks, we would stay with this story, opening to what wisdom there might be for us about beginning again from wherever it is that we are, through paying attention to how the Spirit is moving in us as we encounter each of these characters in the story. Today and for this week, what might it be for us to find ourselves coming alongside the younger son in dialogue with him, listening to him as we meet up with him on the road home? He's not in a hurry, but you can tell he's made up his mind, his steady stride, even as he goes over the ground of these months. When I left, I never thought about coming back. That never occurred to me. I was just out of there, ready for something else. It was about springing free, being my own boss, no one telling me what to do or when or how. Just me living my life, my life. It was pretty bold. I see it now. Boy, do I see it now. And naive. But what did I know then? Truthfully, if you care to hear my truth, it's been hard. Some stuff I wouldn't trade for anything, but it never was what I thought it was going to be. I'm not even talking about the worst of it. And I'm not going there. I've been there. Except for the fact that it's the reason I'm here. I'm leaving that chapter behind. So now here I am making my way home, as though there is one. That's pretty bold, I know. But it's bold in a different way and coming from a different place in me than when I left. This time I'd call it courage. Maybe because I'm not so presumptuous or starry-eyed. I've learned some things about myself, about the world. And yet, I'm eager enough for another chance at life, albeit on different terms, that I'm choosing to step out, even at the risk of being told it's a no-go. Here he is, making his way home on new terms. Terms he's so certain are required if that door that has surely been slammed shut would ever be opened. Father, we hear him say, I have sinned against you, against God. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired hands. We hear him rehearsing that moment of meeting over and over, living it before he ever gets there, paving the way for those terms to lodge themselves in him, define him and his destiny. And yet, for all his certainty, for all his hoping against hope, that's not the way it went. It went away far more gracious than he could ask or imagine. Far from anger or rejection or disappointment, there is pure joy at the wonder of his return. There's this stripping away of judgment, of presumed disowning, and clothing instead with unthinkable tenderness, with honor, with wholehearted welcome. There's this invitation to begin again in the shelter of one another, to allow the liberating love of his father, who he doesn't really know, to restore his place in a relationship that he has yet to experience, where there's so much room for discovery, for deepening. It may be a bit of a leap from where we are right now, but I can't help but hear this moment in the story inviting us to wonder what more awaits us in our life with God, in God's life with us. What if we perhaps convinced ourselves about God that is waiting to be broken open if we allowed ourselves to engage, to re-engage, to begin again? And here's too what I wonder. Is there a story or a perception about ourselves that we keep rehearsing, that holds us back or in a place that doesn't serve us well or anyone else? A story or a perception that may even have a basis in truth, but it's time to let it go in order to be able to begin again, to make room for a true beginning. What names, what images do we carry that rob us of the ability to see ourselves whole and wholly loved? It takes some courage and commitment on our part to enable this letting go. But remember that courage comes from the heart, and we are always welcomed by God, the heart of all being. One last question that surfaces through at least my lingering with that younger son. What have we gathered up from where we've been, from what we've lived, that informs our life and our commitment for the way forward? How, even with the regrettable, even with the harshness that there may be, how might even it be offered back to us in a way that contributes to our growing, to our becoming beautiful all over again? To begin is one thing. To begin again is quite another, isn't it? And especially if we've decided we're done for, or if somehow that's been decided on our behalf. And yet one of the things I can't help but hear Jesus saying through this story is that even and especially in those dead-end places, mercy awaits us. Before we ever pick ourselves up, mercy is already moving toward us. Mercy, that compassionate presence that takes us unawares by the unimagined goodness she bestows upon us and ignites among us. When beginning again seems impossible, beyond our reach or what we deserve or even what we want, what if we took to heart Jesus' urging? Remember mercy. Come back to mercy. Open up to mercy. Let mercy have her way with you. Amen. Maybe we'll just kind of sit for a moment and breathe.